Our reading this morning is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and reading verses 13 to 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and reading from verse 13. It's entitled The Parable of the Rich Fool. This is the Word of God. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." And may God bless this reading of his word. We're in a series at the minute called Walking with Jesus, and in this period of Lent, as we approach Easter, and it's going to be a very unusual Easter, we're looking at some encounters that Jesus had along the way as we walk with Jesus. And we're coming to this passage in Luke chapter 12. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem to the most significant work he is going to do on the cross. And he encounters a man who asks him to arbitrate a family dispute. It's to do with an inheritance. And Jesus doesn't want to get involved in this family dispute, but he uses this conversation to build in a teaching point about our attitude to money, possessions, greed, and so on. Surely this is one of the biggest temptations we face as people. And I think this parable speaks into our times, and particularly into this time and this crisis that we're going through. In our short time together, can I leave with you three things from this parable that we need to be aware of? First of all, we need to be aware of greed and self-centeredness. This is a temptation that we all can fall into. This parable is about a man who is very self-centered. He has received a lot of blessing, and yet all he can think about is himself. Did you notice as I read through the passage that the word "I" and "my" kept recurring? "I will tear down the barns. I will store and rebuild. I will say to myself." He talks about "my crops, my grain, my goods." Jesus is revealing the self-centeredness of this person's heart. His radar is very small. He doesn't see God. He doesn't see others. He doesn't see those who have helped him to get to where he has got. It's all about "I, me, myself." He is totally self-focused. God has blessed him, but there's no recognition of that. There's no thankfulness. There's no gratitude. Now, this temptation is very real, isn't it, for you and for me? We live in a comparatively rich country, and we go about, in normal circumstances, buying lots and lots of stuff and hoarding and storing and so on. This is going to be interesting, this period, as the shops close, as we don't have that same freedom to go out and to buy more and more stuff, which is really, most of it, non-essential. Of course, what will happen is that people will probably go online to Amazon and so on, And I suppose what really needs to happen to test us is for Amazon to stop delivering. We have an abundance of possessions. One of the biggest lies the world propagates is that the more you have, the more content and fulfilled that you will be. But in verse 15, the second half of the verse, Jesus says, a man's or a person's life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. These past few weeks, we have been given an insight into the human heart. Whenever we're under pressure, wherever we're going through a crisis, it shows what's really going on with human nature. And we have seen the worst, but also we've seen the best. We've seen the sinfulness and the depravity of our hearts, haven't we? As we see people stockpiling and stealing. We've seen over these past few days heartfelt pleas from our NHS workers. They're going to the supermarkets, they're finding empty shelves. Older people, vulnerable, frail people are going and they find that the shelves are cleared. People have been stockpiling, hoarding, just looking after number one. And that's not good. Just last week, I heard the story of people actually stealing the hand sanitizers from the bottom of the beds at the hospital. This is how low we can go. This is a sign of sin in our hearts and depravity and selfishness. There is always that temptation to go that way. Just like this rich farmer who stockpiles, who hoards for himself. It's not good. And yet we have also seen the best of humanity. We have seen real acts of goodness and self-sacrifice in the midst of this crisis. And that's what a crisis does. That's what a war situation does. We see the best and we see the worst. Just last week I read the story of a 72-year-old Italian priest called Don Berardelli of Bergamo in northern Italy. And he gave up his ventilator to a young person. On the 15th of March, the priest died, but the young person continues to live. We hear these examples of sacrificial acts, of the thousands and thousands of people who have volunteered for the NHS to help through this crisis. It was John Stott who spoke about the paradox that is human beings. We are people who show depravity, but also dignity, who show the sinfulness of the human heart, but also the fact that we're made in the image of God. Let's not be like the rich farmer here. Let's not hoard and stockpile and steal and just think about ourselves, but let's be generous and open-hearted and looking out for others. This is what Jesus calls us to do. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul says we are to put to death the sinful nature. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. In the words of the current slogan, we need to catch sin, bin sin, and kill sin. So this parable, first of all, gives us the lesson that we need to be aware of the self-centeredness of our hearts, to turn from that. The second lesson is that we are to be aware of the uncertainty of life. Be aware of the uncertainty of life. In this parable, the man is busy building and hoarding and storing, and God speaks into his situation and says, "You fool, tonight your life will be required of you." He hoards and he stores and he says, "I can take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry for years to come." And God says to him, "You fool, this very night you will die. You don't have years, you have hours." It used to be the case that people would sometimes say, "I'll see you next week. DV. I book that conference for next year or that holiday. We hope to go, DV, God willing. And that God willing side seems to have dropped off our conversation because life seems so certain. Our plans seemed to be set and nothing was going to alter them. But in this new normal, perhaps it will bring in humility where there has been arrogance, and we will learn about life's uncertainty. At the minute, things are changing not just month to month or week to week or even day to day, but things are changing from hour to hour. And that brings humility into our spirits. We are living in days of deep uncertainty. God speaks into this man's life. He thought he had years, but his values are turned upside down. His perspective totally changes in a matter of moments. I remember reading a story some years ago about the Titanic, and a mother and a couple of her children were just getting into the lifeboat. They'd hit the iceberg. They were clambering into one of the lifeboats when she said to the person in charge of the lifeboat, "Can you give me a couple of minutes? There's something I really, really need to get from the cabin." And she was given permission, so she ran back to her cabin. She went into it. She reached past all the wardrobe of clothes, her jewellery, the watches, the earrings, the expensive things that she had. And she reached in for three small oranges that she knew were there. She gathered them and ran back to the boat. In a time of crisis, our perspective changes. Our values change. What is essential, what is most important, changes. And so it was for this man. He discovered that his life was going to be a lot shorter than he thought. And for many of us, sadly, in this circumstance, we see the uncertainty of life. And maybe that's a good lesson for us to learn. Our values will change over these days. Perhaps life will never be quite the same again. We certainly will be appreciating our families more, our friendships more, the freedoms that we had to go out and have a cup of coffee. Yes, even the freedom to come and gather as a church. Church online is good, and we thank God for this technology. I thank God for the team that are putting this together. But it's not just quite as good as meeting together. The church gathered. And I hope that whenever that time comes again, that we will appreciate gathering together to worship and hear God's word. As Jesus heads to the cross, and as we walk with him, one of the lessons he wants to communicate to us is the uncertainty of life. In the letter of James, chapter 4 and verse 13, James says this: "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on a business and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that.'" This parable teaches us about the temptation to be greedy and self-centered. It teaches us about the uncertainty of life. And thirdly and finally, it teaches us that we need to be aware of the importance of being rich towards God. At the end of this parable, Jesus gives us a challenge. Don't store up things for yourself, but be rich towards God. Now, what does it mean to be rich towards God? God has everything. God is in need of nothing. How can we be rich towards him? Well, a few things to say on this. Firstly, and most importantly, we can be rich towards God when we acknowledge the richness of God towards us in giving us his Son, Jesus Christ, who has sacrificed his life to cover our sinfulness. And every one of us is a sinner. God has given us Jesus. And we are rich towards God when we acknowledge this. And we bow the knee, acknowledge that Jesus has died for my sin. We invite him into our hearts and our lives. and ask him to be Lord. He has given us forgiveness. He has given us eternal life. He is changing us and sanctifying us day by day by day to make us more into the image of Jesus Christ and into his likeness. We can be rich towards God as we surrender our lives more and more to Jesus and follow him. And Jesus tells us that he has gone to prepare a place for us, a home for us in eternity. He will prepare a new heaven and a new earth on which we shall dwell, and it will be virus-free. We can be rich towards God in acknowledging his richness spiritually towards us in Jesus. Secondly, we can be rich towards God as we acknowledge his riches materially. The blessing that he gives to us, this rich farmer didn't acknowledge the blessings he had. He didn't give thanks to God. But we need to do that. We can be rich towards God as we give thanks to him for all that he has given to us. We can be rich towards God as we do good to others. We, I hope, are becoming more grateful, more aware of others' needs, and more kind. It's good to be good. It's good to be kind. And this is a way in which we can be rich towards God. This honours God as we help others. It's a good witness. And then finally, although we cannot meet as church physically, we keep worshipping with our individual lives. We worship God in our praying. We worship God in our praising. We worship God in our giving and serving. Keep praising God. Keep singing those songs. Put on the worship tape or the CD. Play it digitally or whatever. Let's keep lifting up our voices to God in praise. That honours God. Keep giving. Many of us give through standing order. If our income doesn't change too much, that's good. And keep that standing order coming in. If you're normally used to giving by envelopes, keep setting those envelopes aside. Paul talks about us. Keep setting aside week by week as God has prospered us. One day, hopefully, we'll be able to bring those to church or maybe arrange for them to be collected or whatever. But it's the principle of just continuing to be rich towards God, generous towards him for all that he has given to us. We need to invest in his kingdom. Not hoarding, storing, all for ourselves. This is a way in which we can be rich towards God, investing into his kingdom, unlike the foolish farmer. This is a message for our times. Don't be a fool. Be aware of the self-centeredness of our hearts. Be aware of the uncertainty of life. And be aware of the importance of being rich towards God. May God bless us as we seek to put this message into practice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Encourage us, admonish us, challenge us. Holy Spirit, come into our lives more and more. Help us to live in these strange and difficult and hard times in a way which honours you, which is faithful to your word and your ways, and is an encouragement for people to look to Jesus Christ as our rock, as our refuge, as our friend, as our shepherd, and as our saviour. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.